Amen. Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you, team. It was kind of exciting around here a little earlier. We were sitting in the office and all the lights went out and it came back on shortly. But what didn't come back on, of course, is the internet. And so these guys are really creative. It reminds me of a little sign that my brother had on his desk when he was managing a Lowe's lumber company down south. He had a little sign on his desk and he says, "We have done so much with so little for so long, we are now qualified to do anything with nothing in no time flat." And so it's kind of been that situation around here this morning. Hey, I want to draw your attention to the app this morning just for a moment. We had hoped to have a couple of testimonies and from some of our people that are frontline workers that are working in healthcare this morning. And I put out several calls, but they're so busy they hadn't been able to call me back. But just like on 9/11, when the police, the firemen, and the EMTs ran toward disasters, we have a group of people today, frontline warriors, I'm calling them, that are daily risking their own health and safety to administer first aid and help to those that have been struck with COVID-19. They are putting themselves into danger to actually do that, and we really, really respect them and appreciate them. And we've got lots of those folks in our church, and we do hope to have a few words from them soon that we'll be able to let you hear. But what we want to do is tell you on your app. If you'd get that out, I hope you've already done it and checked in this morning to the services. But if you look at your app under the Sunday section, if you'll open that up, there's a place where it says you can nominate healthcare workers. And there's just a little information you need right there. We'd like you to nominate people that are these frontline responders. Maybe they're working in healthcare emergency rooms. Maybe they are EMTs. Maybe they are paramedics. But they are people that are tending to the people that are just so ill. And boy, we'd like to recognize them. We want to be a blessing to them, do something for them from Grace Church and let them know how much we appreciate them. But we need your nomination. So go on there, just go through and fill out that little form, and that will help us tremendously. Well, folks, we're into this several weeks now, and it's beginning to be a little bit of a routine. I hope that we can get back to the other routine where we have a full auditorium and people coming to church and enjoying fellowship one with another. But we're just so thankful for the technology and that we're able to keep going. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. We're going to continue our series that we began last week. I began the series, True Faith for Troublesome Times, and talked about storm warnings last week. Well, this week, I want to talk about divine solutions for desperate situations. And there is no doubt there's a lot of desperate people, and there are a lot of desperate situations out there because of what the world is confronting. This isn't unique to the people here in our city, in our state, in our nation. This is a worldwide event. Soon, I'm going to talk about another worldwide event that this reminds me of, and one that has affected the entire world. And I'm going to preach another sermon that I think will be an encouragement to you. Listen to this. There was a letter found in a baking powder can wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across Nevada's Amargosa Desert. "The pump is all right," it said, as of June 1932. "I put a new sucker washer into it. It ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out in the heat, and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water, out of the sun and cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink any first. Pour about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour the rest, medium fast, and pump the handle like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the water bottle, put it back where you found it under the white rock for the next person. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump, and you will get all that you can drink." So he had to exercise faith, whoever was coming along after Desert Pete, and follow the instructions and trust the instructions in order for not only him to have what he needed, but for everybody coming after him to find an oasis in the middle of that desert. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of desperate situations going, and I know better to ask you if you've ever been in a desperate situation, because things are getting desperate for a lot of people right now. So when we get desperate, what do? Do we just chuck our faith and try to figure it out on our own? Do we just say, you know, like they did in Israel, every man to his tent? In other words, take care of yourself because nobody else is going to take care of you. Or do we trust the Lord? Should we double down on trusting Him? Follow the instructions? Take a shortcut? What should we do? Do we do something that makes sense at the moment but turns out to be foolish? Or do we obey the instructions of God by faith? Do we take the path of foolishness, or do we take the path of faith? Well, there are a lot of desperate situations that I could talk about today. The truth is, there were marriages who were already in trouble before COVID-19 showed up. Now they're worse. Some individuals that God had delivered from drugs, they've been exacerbated because of this pressure, and they've gone back on drugs. Others who were delivered from alcohol are tempted to go back again. Maybe everything's great, and maybe you have just launched a brand new business. You invested every penny nearly, but now you're watching it evaporate before your eyes because you can't operate your business in order to keep things going and to have any sort of income. There are single moms that are just holding on by a thread out there. To put it in a simple form, you're at the end of your rope. Well, I want to encourage you this morning to just tie a knot in the end of your rope and hold on, trust God, because God is not done with all of this situation. So what about this desperation? When we get into desperate situations, we like to look for quick solutions to our problem. And we are hearing them today. They're talking about a vaccine for this situation that we have for COVID-19. It's only 12 or 18 months away. And so we pray that they get it, but I mean, we're still got stuff going on right now. And most of us aren't asking for too much, really. We're just wanting to know where we can get toilet paper, you know, and who's hiding the cleaning supplies, and will the kids ever get to go back to school? I mean, these are the kinds of things we are looking at today. Well, we have enough spiritual aptitude to know that God is using this trial to teach us some things, and we're okay with that. And I just want to say to the Lord, like you, hey, God, I'm listening. I'm ready to learn. Can we just get rid of these masks that we're wearing? You know, I was in Menards yesterday, and about five out of six people had those masks on, and they were looking at me like I was some sort of an alien or something. I had my head down running around because I didn't want anybody to see who I was. So, you know, sometimes we react poorly to trouble, to stormy seas in our life. We can talk about this all day, but there are common reactions when you're not doing well and when things are not going the way that at least they were going or the way we think they ought to. We say things like, why, God? And where is God? And do you care, God? And do you know what? In times like this, when those questions sort of creep into our mind, the devil is very, very active making suggestions, advantage of a crisis. And if he does, he might make you think things like this. He might make you doubt God's goodness. The Jewish priests were tempted to do that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 14, they decided that it was futile to serve the Lord, that nothing good was coming of it, and they accused God. They said, God, you're just not being good to us. Something else in these pressure-filled times, we are very tempted to give wrong advice. I don't know if you remember Naomi whenever she was in this kind of situation. Husband died, two sons died, she had two daughter-in-laws. And what was her advice to them? Look, just go home and go to your old gods. Boy, what terrible advice. And I want to tell you, when the crunch is on, there are just times in our life we don't need to be giving advice to anyone. We need to just be quiet and wait on the Lord. Naomi had told her daughters to go back to their Moab and to their gods. Something else we might do is we might make rash decisions. Do you remember Esau? Esau was worn out and got hungry one day and came in. And he was just so hungry and famished that he sold his primogeniture. He sold his first right for a bowl of red bean soup, lentil soup, I believe the actual scriptures say. And so we got to be careful in our desperation not to sacrifice our future on the altar of the immediate. You know, that's a temptation for us, to sacrifice everything out there just to meet an immediate need. And then there's this temptation. We're tempted to return to old solutions like Peter When things weren't, when he couldn't quite figure it out and Jesus hadn't showed up in time to the Sea of Galilee, he said, well, I tell you what I'm doing. I got to feed my family. I'm going to go fishing. And he was walking away from the plan of God for him. Of course, he got corrected, and that was very predictable for us. Just go to our old paths. And I just can't say this loud enough today. I pray that God, that you would be looking to God and looking to his courage. If you've had a history and a past of certain life patterns and habits that are very, very destructive and detrimental, then I pray that you don't resort to a drink, a pill, or some sort of fix. Don't do that. Just trust Jesus. Wait on the Lord, and the Lord will hear you. He is our God, and we can look to him in desperation. I want to read this passage of scripture to you, and we'll have a word of prayer. So 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to read a few verses. You follow along as I read out loud. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kirith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Kirith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called after her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Let's bow for prayer. Father, add your blessing to what I share and preach this morning, and I pray, Father, that as if you were to grab us up with your arms of grace and lift us, Lord, and lift our spirits, I pray that the encouragement from the story of the widow at Zarephath and of Elijah your prophet would encourage our hearts today. And I know it hasn't been long ago that there seemed to have been a shortage on sugar and a shortage on flour because so many people were baking. And Lord, I know that this story rings home. Maybe it's not sugar, maybe it's not flour, maybe it's just that the money has run out. The stimulus is gone and the job is not returning. Lord, we just pray, Father, that we would not make rash decisions, we would not make hasty decisions, that we would not chuck our faith. But Lord, help us to trust in you, the Almighty God. You keep your promises like you did this week, Lord, in the rainstorm in Ankeny. And I looked up and saw that great rainbow in the sky. I was reminded again that you kept your promise about the flood, and you'll keep every promise to us, that you've never seen the righteous forsaken or your seed begging bread. Father, I pray that you would encourage us today. Lift us up by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when things get desperate, there's several things we should do. And the first thing we should do is hear God. That's the first thing we need to do. Make sure that we are listening to God. And what we have to do as we listen to him, verses 2 through 7, is accept the provisions that God supplies. Boy, for many, many people to accept a stimulus check from the government was a big step because it's a handout. They feel like it's a handout. And that was very, very difficult for many, many people to do that. And 50 years ago, it would have been really, really difficult because the attitude was that just don't take handouts. But we need today to be ready to accept the provision that God supplies. God will provide for us. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God. He was just starting out his ministry. His first job was to announce a drought. And so he went to King Ahab, king of Israel, and he said, "You're a wicked man. You're doing wicked stuff. And I just want you to know you're not going to get away with it. There's going to be a drought for 3.5 years, and that's the end of that. See ya." That was the first thing that Elijah was told to do. What was interesting is that he was going to suffer the same drought that everybody else was, and God was going to have to supply for him. And so that drought that was meant for everyone also came to him, and so God had a plan. He sent him to a little wadi or a creek on the east side of the Jordan there, and he was to stay there, and God promised that the water from the creek would keep him all watered up, and that he would send meals to him on the wings of a raven. Now, that's a scavenger bird, a raven. It's like a tiny buzzard. They eat anything. They eat carrion. And so this was an unclean animal that was going to be bringing his daily bread and meat to him. I don't know what meat he was bringing. I trust he wasn't bringing carrion to him, but he was bringing something to him. And so he had to accept the provision that God provided. And folks, I want to say to us this morning that believers are not exempt from suffering. We're not exempt from sickness. We're not exempt from experiencing spiritual and material difficulty. Whatever's happening in the world is also happening to believers. And so we shouldn't be shocked. We might be tempted to complain sometimes about the provisions that the Lord gives. Like the children of Israel back in Numbers, there was a mixed multitude that went with them, and they complained all the time. And they were actually remembering with fondness their slavery in Egypt. And they said, "Hey, we remember the leeks, the garlings, and the onions." And now all they said about what God provided for them was, "There's nothing except this manna." And there's in the Hebrew, there's this great emphasis. Just this manna. That's all there is to eat. And I think, there might be a lot of people eating beans and rice and eating a lot of things they wouldn't normally eat in the circumstances that we're in right now. Boy, we need to be like Elijah and be ready to accept the provision that God gives us. We better not be despising God's provision. And let's be thankful for what he has done. Then expect the provision to suffice. Whatever God is, let's give thanks for what God gives us and expect it to suffice. He had a better attitude, actually. He was probably excited. You know, he heard the Lord promise, "Okay, here's your water to drink and just watch. Tomorrow morning there's birds going to deliver your breakfast." And if it had been me, I'd have been up early. Man, I'd have been up early scouting the skies. Here comes this raven. And they just kept coming. They brought him bread. They brought him meat. And there he was. And so he had his own private brook. He had ravens swooping down, and he had wings. He had meals on wings, not meals on wheels, but meals on wings. And there he sat. "This is pretty good. I think I can live through this. I'm going to accommodate myself to this." And he thought it was going to be fine. So he had his situation. The third thing I want you to see is we need to trust in the provider. Don't trust in the provision. Because the passage says in verse number 7, "It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." And you know, I have to say that to all of us as believers. We fall in love with our situation. We fall in love with the provisions of God. And sometimes we look more to the gift that God has in his hand instead of the heart of God who loves us. We're not supposed to just love his blessings. We're supposed to love him. He is the source. The meta-narrative of God's punishment of Israel as a nation and King Ahab and the big story takes a back seat in this chapter. Even though God was doing big things nationally, and indeed he's doing big things worldwide today, even though he was doing big things nationally, he was still very attentive and involved in the lives of three individuals: Elijah the prophet, who had given his message, a pagan widow and her sickly son. And he was interested in them. And you know, God is doing big things worldwide with coronavirus, but make no mistake, He is working in my heart, and He's working in your heart, and He's working in our lives, and there's something He's doing in every one of our cases. So folks, let's don't trust our situation. Let's trust in the sovereign God. The first lesson we learn is God will provide. The second lesson we learn is God wants you to depend on Him, not on His provisions. That is idolatry. You know, you can make an idol out of the stuff that God provides in your life, and you can worship the stuff instead of worshiping the provider, God Himself. And then understand that the drought and pandemics are no respecter of persons. They came to Elijah, and they came to the widow at Zarephath, and they came on King Ahab and all of his court, north and south, east and west. Everyone was suffering with the same thing. Both of the people in our passage had big problems. Now, we know about Elijah and how his resources dried up. Now we encounter this widow, a single mother. She's out gathering, it specifically says, two sticks. Man, it's really bad if you just got enough meal and enough oil that two sticks is enough to cook whatever you're making. So she was gathering those together, fully expected to eat one more meal and die. Let me ask you today, can you think of anything worse than being a widow, a single mother, or a father than the loneliness of the situation? Loneliness is a terrible companion of troubles and trials. That has been one of the more difficult things of this entire shutdown and coronavirus event that we've been going through, is this lack of community, this separation. Now, I want you to realize this, that at least we have social media. Today, I'm coming to you by way of a cell phone. There's a cell phone hotspot. It's grabbing everything we're doing. Everything else is down this morning. This is a cell phone hotspot, and I'm still able to come to you this morning with this message. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath had no social media. This was a lonely situation. Elijah would have been alone at Brook Kerith, and the widow was alone in her suffering. No social security system in those days. It was a very, very lonely time. Both the widow's oil and the prophet's river had dried up. Verse 12, I don't have any bread, a handful of flour, and a little oil in a jug. Things are desperate. Both of them had deep financial needs. Folks, I'm sure by now, even if you have already received a stimulus check, and no matter how tight you are and how carefully you spend it, it's just not going to last forever, and the government's not going to be able to completely continue printing money. And so this was a terrible situation. It's interesting that both the prophet of God and the pagan woman were living under the same brazen sky that refused to release any rain. Well, the rain falls on the good and the bad today. And the rain doesn't fall on both the good and the bad today. In other words, what we're suffering with is universal. I think there's a lot of people today whose brook has dried up. I'm speaking of a broader idea now than just a literal brook. The coronavirus struck. A job disappeared. A relationship might have been ended. A strong husband is no longer there to lean on. A wise father or mother or friend that you have always gone to for advice is no longer there. It's a difficult time, and when you run out of oil for your system and your brook dries up, you can get desperate and you want to know what to do. So God had a lesson for His prophet. God had a lesson for the Phoenician woman. If you stay where you are spiritually, your faith will shrivel up and die. We're not supposed to do that. We ought to double down in our faith in times of difficulty and trust God even more. What do we do? What do we do in these desperate moments? Well, you hear God. You say, how do I do that? Well, listen to these verses. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him again. Verse 14, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. And he spoke to the woman, and she listened. So let me just say to you, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but keep listening for God to speak. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, read your Bible. Now, folks, if anything ought to have been increased in its intensity and regularity and habitually, it ought to be our time of devotion with the Lord. I believe most of us have more time than we've ever had in our lives to sit still and know that He is God. Sit still and hear from the Word of the Lord. Sit still and read the Word of God. As I said last week, you never get beyond Christianity 101. That Christianity 101 and 201 and 301, it's all the same. You need to read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and sit in God's presence and interact with Him through prayer, looking at the Word of God, claiming His promises, and listening for His voice. In times of loneliness and material need, He's going to say things like this, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He's going to say things like this, "Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you." He's going to say things like this, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God." Boy, we need to hear Him speak to us. God knows where you are, and He knows what is happening. Second main point on your outline there is, when the solution seems difficult, obey God. So when the situation's desperate, hear God. And when the solution seems difficult, obey God. Just do what God says, verses 8 through 12. You know, God's way may seem counterintuitive to us from time to time. Sometimes His remedies are scary. But doing what God says to do does not always make sense for us immediately from our perspective without stopping to think and giving meditation to it. "Pick up that serpent," God said to Moses. Now, if it had been me, I'd have been running. I'd have set the land record for the 100-yard dash. "Pick up that serpent, Moses. Just trust me. Step out of the boat, Peter. Forget the storm. Just trust me. Put Isaac on the altar, Abraham. Just trust me. Step into the water. I know the flood time of the Jordan is coming by. Just step into the water, priest. Carry the ark. I'll open it up. Just trust me. Gather what you need, people. That manna for today, little lady. Just get enough for today. It'll be there in the morning. Just trust me. Give me your lunch, little fella. Don't worry. There's going to be enough for you too. Just trust me." God's been telling people to do hard things all the way through the Bible. He's been telling us to trust Him. And sometimes the situations, the harder they are, the more important it is that we give it over to Him and trust Him. And it was counterintuitive to Elijah, because here's what God said to him. "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. And so I can imagine in his mind, maybe he was just so a man of such great faith and everything that he didn't even stop and think. But if it had been me, I would have said, "Wait a minute, God, the people in Zarephath are pagans. They worship Baal. In fact, this is just down the road from you know it's not raining, God, so this widow's not going to have anything to give me." It was counterintuitive to the widow as well. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home. Do as you have said," speaking of making a cake. "But first make a small cake of bread for me for what you have and bring it to me." The widow didn't have it any easier. She was preparing her last supper, so to speak. She had precious little. And here's a prophet that she did not know. He came up and gave her a cockamamie story about a God that she'd never heard of, and that spoke to him about telling her this: if she would feed him first, then there'll be plenty for her. Counterintuitive. God's will is something else. Sometimes God's will is not always convenient. Elijah, leave where you are, travel 100 miles to the northwest across Israel, sneak your way around Ahab's people who are looking for you, and go to this widow, and she is going to sustain thee. A what? A widow? In Zarephath? You know, we like to obey God, all of us, in our comfort zones. In my own experience, most people that I know, they want to serve God any way they can from an armchair. They want to serve God any way they can. But it's like this: God, I want you to work in my life, but please don't inconvenience me. We want God to operate, but only in our comfort zone. Don't move me. Don't change me. Don't break my rhythm. I've got news for you. Coronavirus has broken everybody's rhythm. It has changed everything. And Elijah may not have had everything he wanted there at Kirith, but he was acclimated. And he was in a comfort zone. He had meals on wings provided for him, and he was comfortable. That was the biggest obstacle to having his needs met by God. And today, our biggest obstacle to having our own needs met by God is our own comfort level. Listen to this statement. Many times, we had rather deal with the hassles of our old problems than the challenges of a new solution. Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. There are many people whose lives are miserable, but they've gotten comfortable with the misery to the point they don't want to take any surgery. I have a brother who died too early because he was afraid to have surgery to get rid of a terrible hernia. He was more comfortable with this terrible hernia. And so what happened, without getting too gross, is the parts of his body died, and he died because he was afraid to make any change. Our present situation isn't all it should be, many times we think, but it's familiar, and I'm used to it. The widow, get this now, I'm starving, my boy is starving, and you want me to give to God first? Wow. But this is more than a story about a widow and a prophet this morning and the immediate problem. God made his name great in this story right under Baal's nose. It is not insignificant that this widow was in Zarephath, which was next door to where King Ethbaal, who promoted Baal worship and pagan worship, where Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, lived and had come from. This miracle of supply happened right under the nose of Baal. I just want you to know that, and please don't miss this. COVID-19 has not closed the door on God's ability. It has thrown it wide open. Listen to this. Psalms 40 verse 1. Hang on to this, dear friends. If you're out there this morning and you're a little bit desperate, a little bit not knowing what's next, hang on to this. Psalm 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of depression, perhaps, out of the miry clay of discouragement. And he set my feet on a rock. He gave me somewhere solid to stand. Do you feel like you're slipping? Feel like you're in a muddy place? Feel like it's just hard to get any footing right now? He put him on a solid rock. He established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Listen to this phrase. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord God. Wow. What God is doing today is for our good, it's for His glory, and it's for the propagation of the gospel. Let's don't miss it. God's plan is always compassionate. Elijah needed to see that God cared for the Gentiles, that nobody lays outside of God's reach of grace. He's also going to find out that God raises the dead. He's going to find out just how powerful he is, because he's going to have a chance to raise this woman's son who dies in the next chapter. What he needed to do and what we need to do is trust and obey. Seemed like we used to sing about that. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The widow, she was laying at the door of starvation, and she needed to know about the one true God. And she needed more than a meal ticket. She needed a miracle-working God, because her son is getting ready to die. When the situation seemed impossible, what we should do today, and what they needed to do, is trust God. Verses 13 to 16. And folks, what I want to say to all of us today in these desperate times, and I want to say to us today as we talk about true faith for troublesome times, and what about God's divine design for desperate times, here's what I want to say. We need to learn to trust God, and the first thing we do is practice faith over fear. Practice faith. Verse 9, arise and go to Zarephath. What did Elijah do? Well, after he hemmed and hawed around a little bit, he obeyed God, and then he experienced God's provision and his power. Elijah found out more about this God he was serving after he went through this trouble than he knew beforehand, because he's going to meet this woman who needs a supply, and he's also going to meet this woman whose son dies, and he is going to be used of God to bring this man, this boy, back to life. Then in verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't fret, don't fear, go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first. Here's what she did. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The widow obeyed God's man, thus obeying God, and she experienced God's provision and God's power. Next, put God first. Practice faith over fear. Next, put God first. First, you say, Pastor, these are very desperate times. These are very difficult moments. What do you mean, put God first? Well, there's a lot of ways you can put Him first without spending a penny. There's a lot of ways you can put him first. By you can go to him first and not go to the world. You can look to God before you look to government. You can get up in the morning and you can pray to him. You can meditate on his word. You can talk to him. You can let him be the first thing you do in the morning. I was so impressed at Ignite this year when this place was just packed and jammed. Thank God we were able to get the Ignite Des Moines in before all of this happened. In fact, it was the very next day that we were not even able to have church. But I saw hundreds, if not a thousand or more children raise their hand and say, I'm not going to look at social media in the morning. I'm not going to look at the television in the morning. I'm not going to check my phone in the morning. I'm not going to eat any bread and bacon in the morning. I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to see what God has to say to me. Boy, that doesn't cost you anything. Just practice faith over fear. Put God first. Somebody might say, but why does God work like this? My answer, I don't know. I don't have any idea, but I know what the scripture says. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Pastor, does God call on us to put him first, even in the difficult times of our life? Let me see if I can say this with all clarity. Yes. Always, he wants us to put him first. I will never apologize to you, dear friends, whether you're a guest today listening or whether you're somebody that listens to me from week to week, I will never apologize for teaching you to put God first always. And here's why. Because putting him first is the best way to ensure that there will even be provisions for tomorrow. You picture this lady, if you would. This widow woman who thought she was at the end of her rope, so to speak. She was at the end of the cruise of oil. She was at the end of the barrel of flour. She was all over. Imagine her after she obeyed the Lord. The first time she went back to that barrel of meal the next morning and the first time she looked at her little bottle of oil, imagine the awestruck joy to see that God's word is true. There's an anchor for your soul that is being developed during these days if you're trusting in Jesus. You're finding out that God is trustworthy. Don't be like those children of Israel in the desert whenever it was desperate times. Say, can God lay a table for us in the desert? You be like this woman. Be like Elijah and say, yes, God can. He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And then finally, trust God always. Always trust him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 is a powerful verse. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Boy, I want to find out about that God. I want to live that life. I want the Lord to show himself strong. Sometimes if we don't have a problem, we'd never know that God could solve them. This is what we're learning at this time. Take this with you, please, today, all of you, these desperate times. We have a God who designs, a divine design there is for these desperate times. Take it with you. God sees you where you are. He saw Elijah and he saw the widow of Zarephath. And God knows what you need. God has never promised to meet all of our greeds, but he has promised to take care of all of our needs. God knows what you need. And then this, don't miss it. God will use you for his glory during this time. He will use you. Do you know who got the glory? Did Ethbaal get the glory? Did the Baals get the glory? Did Elijah get the glory? Did the woman get? No. Only one person got the glory in this story. It's the God who put the oil and the meal back in the barrel and in the bottle. It was God who was glorified. Let's be careful. Grace family, family of friends. Let's be careful, believer. Let's give God credit, not just give him our complaints. God is good all the time. Maybe you're listening this morning, you're not a child of God. Maybe COVID-19 has caused you to stop and listen and wonder, is there any hope? Is there anybody out there that's listening? Well, I don't want to present Jesus this morning as the solution to your difficulty of the moment. Rather, I want to point to the Savior who can deal with your sin And I want to point you to the Savior who can give you a rock to stand on. God doesn't promise that we'll never have storms and difficulties. He just gives us a good, solid place to stand while the wind is blowing and while the difficulties are coming. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, then I pray that you will stop and seek Him with all of your heart. Read the Word of God. Get into the Word of God and call us here at Grace Church. Use the phone. Call us tomorrow or respond. There's a place where it says next step on your app. You can go there and follow the instructions and respond. We will be in contact with you. There are divine solutions for desperate situations, but they come from God's point of view and His perspective. He's not going to do it like we think He ought to do it. Just like manna in the wilderness, they didn't think of doing it that way, but God always has a way, and He always has a plan for our difficulties, even if we could never think of it. Trust God. Obey God. Hear God. So hear Him and obey Him and see the salvation of the Lord. God bless you. Father, I pray that You'd add Your blessing to the preaching and teaching of Your Word. Please increase our faith in these troublesome times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.